Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, happy summer to everyone. We usually read this a little earlier. It's one of my favorite essays that I read during the summer season or a little before, maybe a little bit after Memorial Day, but now better than ever. Summer shines as ever. It's we who have changed. A great essay about summer. Keep an eye on summer. That bit of lyric from the middle of an old song I have otherwise long forgotten reinsinuates itself into the atmosphere this time every year. It might as well be playing on every corner, although it's really not there. It might as well be emblazoned against the clouds like skywriting coming in soft white plumes from a sputtering biplane, although there are no words in the afternoon air. Memorial Day has come and gone, and now pretty soon June will be. July and August are on its way. Keep an eye on summer, yet we seldom do. Summer is life's greatest gift to us, or at least it ought to be. It's no coincidence that there have been more songs written about summer than about all the other seasons combined. Summertime, wonderful summer, all summer long, a summer song, summer means fun. Whatever your generation, the songwriters and singers of your era were drawn to summer seemingly as if they couldn't help themselves. Summer is everything, at least it once was, when we were young. Then, when summer and life were new, summer represented freedom and friendship and an escape from the grayness of the rest of the year. Summer was not just a season, summer was a reward, even when we hadn't done a thing to earn it. Summer was the time to breathe, to feel like someone else, to discover things about you that could never be discovered in November or February. Summer was the time when you were allowed to figure out who you were. As we grow older, we allow summer to lose that. Summer doesn't change. We do. The long days and warm nights that we used to cherish and linger over somehow become rushed and diminished because we don't pay proper attention. We have jobs now and responsibilities and deadlines to meet. There are times during the summer when, if someone were to ask us what month it is, we would have to hesitate for a second before figuring out whether it is June or July or August. Summer is a blur, or so we have permitted it to become, the one time of the year that should never be blurred, the one time of the year that should be clear and crisp and distinct. Every summer day is often anything but. It's not summer's fault. It's ours. One of the wisest people I have known once said that the best things in life should be thought of as pebbles in a jar. The assumption should be that the pebbles are finite. Even if you can't count them by looking into the jar, you should assume that one day they will run out. You should withdraw them with care, one by one, never doing it by rote or distractedly. If you withdraw them too rapidly, you're being greedy and will hasten the day when they're gone. If you hoard them, if you are miserly in keeping them in the jar, then you will rob yourself of the experiences the good things should give you. There's no perfect way to do it. The closest you can come to perfection is to know just how precious those pebbles are and to value each one. So it is with summers. Here is one true thing. You have one less summer remaining in your life than you did a year ago today. This is just before the 4th of July. A year from this morning, you'll have one less summer remaining than you do now. That can worry you, or thrill you. Choose to let it thrill. Summer is with us now. Why are we given summers? Well, probably for the reason that we are given all of life's good things. To remind us of what the rest of life does not feel like. To show us by contrast what we are missing during all those hours when things are not so fine. If all of life were summer, if all of our experiences were wonderful experiences, then the world would have no texture, no context. Summer, the possibility of summer, summer as we first knew it, is what it is precisely because we're aware its duration is not limitless. It would not taste the way it does if we thought it would last forever. We love it, or at least we once loved it, because we know, even as it is beginning, that it will soon enough be gone. That is why the last evening of summer is one of the most melancholy times of the year. The air is cooler on that September night. The shadows grow longer. There is a sadness on that night that is hard to shake. Not now, though. That's for later. It's just before 4th of July. The pebbles still fill summer's jar. Yours to withdraw at your own pace. Keep an eye on summer. Savor every day. Savor every summer night. Because summer is life's greatest gift to us. Always enjoy reading that essay to start out our summer and the summer solstice and the longest day of the year. Well, something that's always fun celebrating for summer is the Millennium Park Annual Film Series. The third year this is going on. And it's held down at Millennium Park. And you can see it at either the Pritzker Pavilion or the lounge on the Great Lawn. Watch a state-of-the-art 40-foot screen, and starts at 6:30. And it's always a lot of fun. And some of the movies that are coming up on June 30th, Apollo 13, great Tom Hanks movie that'll be participatory in memory of 4th of July. On July 7th, Big Night, which is an Italian feast to kick off the 35th annual Taste of Chicago, which goes from July 8th through the 12th. What was the name of that dish in there? It's called timbale, remember? On July 14th, Johnny Depp's movie, Edward Scissorhands, which is selected by the American Disabilities Association of Chicago, commemorating the 25th anniversary of the American with Disabilities Act. Very interesting and very appropriate. On July 21st, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Gene Wilder's movie, written by Roald Dahl, honoring 50 years since its publication. July 28th, Kate Hudson's film Almost Famous, a rock and roll tale in advance of Lollapalooza, which goes from July 31st to the August 2nd, and that's on July 28th. Drumline on August 4th, in honor of the Bud Billiken Day Parade, which will be August 8th. The Aviator, a movie about Howard Hughes starring Leonardo DiCaprio, an American aviation spectacle in advance of the 57th Annual Chicago Air and Water Show, presented by Shell, August 15th and 16th. And we're going to have our good pal Herbie Hunter on the show, as we do every year, to talk about the Air and Water Show. Dirty Dancing is going to be presented, the movie, on August 18th, Patrick Swayze's great movie. And that will be in conjunction with the same night it's opening at the Cadillac Palace Theater, which is kind of coincidental. Mahogany, which is the movie Diana Ross won the Academy Award for, celebrating the 40th anniversary of the movie, which was filmed in Chicago. And finally, the 30th anniversary of the John Hughes classic The Breakfast Club, which will be September 1st, just before Labor Day. So a lot of things going on at Millennium Park. And for information, you can call 312-742-1168. And get some information about some of the great movies. Have a little picnic on the lawn and enjoy a delightful evening of watching some classic movies. Have the opportunity of listening to some great music from a friend that we've had on the show numerous times, Maureen McGovern, and she has a new CD out entitled A Long and Winding Road. And one of my favorite composers was very talented Jimmy Webb, who wrote so many great songs, but three of which were By the Time I Get to Phoenix, MacArthur Park, and The Moon's a Harsh Mistress. And Maureen melds these together in a kind of triptych group of songs, which I think we're going to share right now before we talk to our very special guests. So please enjoy Maureen McGovern and the great songs of Jimmy Webb. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
By the time I get to Phoenix, he'll be rising. He'll find the note I left hanging on his door. He'll laugh when he reads the part that says I'm leaving, 'cause I've left him so many times before. By the time I make Albuquerque, he'll be working. He'll probably stop at lunch and give me a call. Just hear that phone keep on a ringing off the wall. That's all. By the time I make Oklahoma, he'll be sleeping. Call my name out loud, and he'll cry just to think I'd really leave him. Though time and time again I tried to tell him so, he just didn't know. Song for me, for I will sing it. There will be another dream for me, someone will bring it. I will drink the wine while it is warm and never let you catch me looking at the sun. After all the loves of my life, after all the loves of my life, you'll still be the one. I will take my life into my hands, and I will win the worship in their eyes, and I will lose it. I will have the things that I desire, and all my passion flow like rivers through the sky. And after all the loves of my life, after all the loves of my life, I'll be thinking of you. sails across the sky. Close enough to touch, but careful if you try. Though she looks as warm as gold, the moon's a harsh mistress. The moon can be so cold. Once the sun did shine, good Lord, it felt so fine. The moon, a phantom, rose through mountains and the pines. And then the darkness fell. The moon's a harsh mistress. It's so hard to love her well. I fell out of her eyes, fell out of her heart. I fell down on my face, and I tripped in my star. God, I fell and fell alone. I fell alone. The moon's a harsh mistress, and the sky is made of stone. A harsh mistress. She's hard to call your own. And after all the loves of my life, I'll be thinking of you.
Three classic songs done in her inimitable way by Maureen McGovern. Jimmy Webb's By the Time I Get to Phoenix, MacArthur Park, and The Moon's a Harsh Mistress. And we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. If there's one thing I enjoy about my summer shows, it's the opportunity to talk to my next very special guest, not only because of who he is, but because of what he does. And it's a tradition that we've had for so many years, and it's always fun to chat about this. The Auditorium Theater's Creative Engagement Department announced its Summer Community Initiatives, the 11th annual Hands Together Heart to Art Summer Camp Return, July 6th through the 31st. Closing out the celebration of the Auditorium Theater Roosevelt University's 125th anniversary season, the Auditorium's Creative Engagement Department announces community initiatives that will continue throughout the entire summer. The award-winning summer camp Hands Together Heart to Art returns for the 11th year, imagine it, 11 years, July 6th through the 31st, allowing children ages 7 through 14 who have experienced the loss of one or both parents the opportunity to use the performing arts to encourage communication, foster emotional growth, and provide young people with the consolation of friendship and compassion from their peers and instructors. The theater will also introduce the new Brave Face Project, a devised play created to shine light on women's roles in society with performances June 26th through the 28th in the Catton Landau Studio. In a continuing effort to encourage young talent, the Auditorium's Made in Chicago Summer Dance Intensive invites dancers ages 11 through 18 to take part in a unique opportunity to train with some of the best professional dancers in the city June 29th through July 3rd at the Auditorium. Not only do the arts provide a genuine sense of entertainment and escape, they can also heal teach, and motivate in various ways, says Auditorium Theater Executive Director Brett Patterson. There's nothing more important than instilling that message to our youth as well as the entire Chicago community. And with these incredible educational initiatives, we continue our mission to provide the best in arts and entertainment while at the same time developing and encouraging the talent of the future. The award-winning summer camp Hands Together Heart to Art returns July 6th through the 31st. Children ages 7 through 14 who have experienced the loss of a parent have the opportunity to experience the unique personal benefits provided by participation in the performing arts. Having served more than 900 kids since its founding, Hands Together Heart to Art, now in its 11th year, celebrates the healing power of creative play, allowing campers the ability to share their stories through acting, music, and multiple forms of movement. As they participate in drama, music, and dance classes, campers are able to find alternative methods of expressing their emotions while building their confidence and self-esteem. And on the line with us right now is the businessman, entrepreneur, musician, one of the leaders in the vibrant world of Chicago's theatrical community, and the executive director of the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, now presenting the 11th Annual Hands Together Heart to Art Summer Camp at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, July 6th through the 17th for ages 7 through 10, July 20th through the 31st for ages 11 through 14. Our good pal, Mr. Brett Patterson. Brett, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Kevin, thank you, as always, for having me.
Well, it's a great tradition we've had. Has it been 11 years, my pal?
Can you believe it? You were one of the very first supporters who stepped up and made this all possible. So you've been with us all 11 years.
Well, I wish I had the vision you had, but, boy, what it's turned out to now is just remarkable. And I thank you, and so do so many other kids and parents and people involved with the auditorium for what you do here. It's just a wonderful thing, and congratulations, most of all.
Well, thank you. It, you know, means a lot to me personally because it comes from personal experience. But over the years, it's really evolved from you know, why I started it into what it's doing for all these kids. And when you think about 900 kids, that's just amazing.
Well, that's the point. Let's start from the beginning. Why did you start it?
Well, I started it because I lost my father when I was 7 years old, and I realized when I got older that my involvement in the arts is what really helped me to get through that and gave me a core group of friends to support me and also, you know, gave me the tools to express myself and have self-confidence. So really, Hands Together Heart to Art grew exactly out of my own experience in that I wanted to give what I had, was lucky enough that I had, to other kids.
How tough was it when you lost your dad, Brad?
Well, you know what, Kevin? I'm going to be honest with you. It was 49 years ago today.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, so, this is really remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, you hit on a day that lives in infamy in my family.
Well, God bless him.
Thank you. Yeah, it was 49 years ago today. He was at summer camp with my brother and had a bit of a freak heart attack in the swimming pool.
Young man, too.
Yeah, he was just 30 years old.
Good Lord.
He left three sons, 10, 9, and 7.
Oh, boy.
You know, he left us, you know, with some good dreams and some good possibilities. So it all turned out for the best, and that's what the purpose of the camp is to show these kids that no matter how, you know, dismal or sad their situation may be at the moment, it will turn out all right if they work at it.
You know, he's looking down, and he's very, very proud of the legacy you're continuing, my pal.
Well, I hope so.
And it's a great time. And explain what happens at the camp because, you know, having been involved in it for so many years myself and coming out there, and I get goosebumps when I come to that final presentation that they do, but it's just a lot of fun.
It is. There's four main components to the camp. The first is that, you know, we provide the kids with a core group of friends, all of whom share the, you know, the same or similar loss. We don't take children who've lost siblings or grandparents. It's all mother or father.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Number two, we use music, theater, and dance as, or what we call creative play, as the healing tool, and we give them self-confidence and give them the opportunity to do some things on stage. The third part of the camp is that we provide professional healing counselors for the kids. Most of these kids come from circumstances that don't allow them to have counseling, so we provide that. And then finally, the fourth piece is we have adults who lost a parent as a child come in and tell their stories so that the kids can see that there is indeed hope for the future. So There's four main components. We do Monday through Friday, 9 to 4:30 every day, with a final performance on the last Friday of the camps.
Now, you have some kids now that have been there and have come multiple times, but they're old enough now to come back probably as helpers or counselors. Do you see that?
Yeah, we started a junior counselor program about 5 or 6 years ago for kids that were a year or two too old to be in camp, who had been in camp, and that's been enormously successful. Mm-hmm. And now I've got, you know, kids that were in the first year of camp have graduated from college.
It makes you feel old, maybe.
Yeah. And they have asked me to write them letters of recommendations, you know, for scholarships and to get into college. And now they're asking me to, you know, do what I can to help them find jobs. It's just kind of funny that they just, you know, they just keep growing up.
Boy, that's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. And it's so much fun to see the metamorphosis that these kids grow through. You see kids when they first come there, some of the new kids, they're very hesitant and they're shy, and then they change when they have that interaction and social activity with the kids.
Yeah, they sure do. It's very rewarding to see that transformation happen. We get a lot of kids that come in and they're a little bit nervous or scared of the whole idea, but by the end we find a talent in everyone, and so they get to, you know, celebrate that talent that they may or may not have even known they had.
Have there been some kids that have enrolled in Roosevelt University?
You know, we have had a few that have gone on to Roosevelt. We've held the camp in their space for every year since we started it. Right. I think that it's a good introduction to the university, and the same is true with our main Chicago dance series, Dance Intensive. Which is just in its second year, but we have dancers that, you know, are introduced to Roosevelt as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's always fun to see that last performance, and I know it's hard to explain unless you live it, because it's so moving to see these kids come out of their shell and perform. And it's difficult to get in front of a group of people and that they don't know, strangers, and talk or sing or perform. Not easy, and when they start, they weren't able to do that.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Most of these kids come from circumstances where they may not have had a great deal of arts exposure previously. So, you know, their vision of entertainment is what they see on television primarily. Mm-hmm. So to understand that you can do this live before an audience and, you know, make people smile and laugh and even cry sometimes, I think that's real beneficial to these kids.
Well, I think that's a big responsibility, and I talk to a lot of people on the show involved in theater and music and dance and so forth, and it's our responsibility as teachers and parents and grandparents to expose these young children, because this is the next generation that's going to carry on the love of theater. And I say that, you know, you go to the theater, you go to the symphony, you go to a group of people performing, and you feel good about yourself. You do feel smarter when you come out of it, like you accomplish something with being participatory in that production process.
You know, I agree with you, Kevin, and I think also, you know, people lament the future of live entertainment. And I think it's a basic need of man to experience entertainment in a group. I think that people will always want to be, you know, in a group watching a good drama, or laughing uproariously at a good comedy. You know, I'm sure you've seen it. When you watch a movie at home or you watch a movie in the theater, you laugh harder in the theater because there's other people laughing with you.
Right. What's that old saying? A key to a vital life is possessing an eagerness to learn and a willingness to change. And what you do at this camp is you stimulate and engage the imagination of these children and stimulate and engage their creativity, and you stimulate and engage their intellect so that they're not the same person that they were when they end as they were when they started.
Yeah, I think that's true, and we're real proud of what we can do. But, you know, even moving a kid a little bit is helpful to that kid, so.
And tell me about the Brave Face Project. Now, that's something new this year.
That's something new this year, yeah. It's kind of a wrap-up project for our 125th that our Creative Engagement Department wanted to do, because so much of the history of the Auditorium Theater is tied up in strong women who
sure.
made it possible. Beatrice Spatchner was the, you know, driving force behind the renovation in the 60s of the Auditorium Theater, and then she ran it for the first few years. And then, actually, all the executive directors prior to me were female.
Really?
They were all very strong.
I realize that.
So So there's a lot of history there with the auditorium. Now, the show itself doesn't have any auditorium history in it, but it looks at women today and where they are and some of the struggles they face.
Interesting. And Scott Waldman is the playwright.
Yes. He's been around town a long time. Both he and the director have been around town for a long time, done some work at Adventure Stage and a few other places.
Scott does a lot of work out at Metropolis Performing Arts Center.
Yes. Yes,
sure,
does.
I've had him on the show a couple times. Very talented guy.
Yeah,
he's a
absolutely.
Teacher. I think he's a teacher.
He could be. I don't know
right,
what he does
right.
besides the right plays.
Right. Very very talented guy, and he's a playwright, and he's done that quite extensively. So that's a great participation he's going to be involved in.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing it tomorrow night. I haven't seen any rehearsals. I read the script, of course, but I haven't seen any rehearsals, and it opens tomorrow night. So I'll experience it with the audience for the first time.
Well, tell Scott I said hello, because we haven't talked to him in a while.
I'll do that.
And Made in Chicago, the Summer Dance Intensive, you started last year.
Uh-huh.
And a unique opportunity for the kids, the young ones, ages 11 through 18, to see some of the great professionals that you have come in and out of the auditorium all year long.
You're right. And I think what makes our Dance Intensive a little bit different than most dance intensives, because all of Chicago's dance companies have wonderful intensives for kids. And we give them a flavor of all the different styles of dance, whereas if you take the Giordano Dance Intensive, you're going to get a really wonderful, intensive, deep view training in the Giordano Jazz Dance Technique.
Sure,
and
sure.
If you take a Joffrey Intensive, you're going to get a really wonderful ballet experience. What we do is provide a class every day of one from Giordano, one from River North, one from Joffrey, and one from, I think, Dance Works Chicago. And there are four different styles of dance and four different, you know, techniques. So if you wanted your kid to experience a broad spectrum of dance, that's what we offer. That's a little bit different than the more intensive intensives offered by the individual companies.
And that's very interesting, because there is a difference in the way that various companies perform their modern dance or ballet and so forth. The Joffrey being very balletic and also doing some of their modern dance, and Thotos and Giordano and River North and so forth. All of those distinct styles, and people won't realize it till they see it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Thotos, because that's another one that's doing the workshop with us there in our intensive as well. And you're right. Everybody has their own style, a lot based on the artistic leadership of that particular company.
How successful was it last year?
You know, we don't make any success as far as money. We don't make any money at this. We just try to cover the costs with it,
mm-hmm.
And it's been great. Last year we had, I think, 14 students, and this year we have 17.
Okay.
A few of those this year are actually staying overnight at Roosevelt Dorm, so we also offer overnight accommodations. And, you know, it's been successful because the kids get out of the classes what they put into it.
Right.
And so that's where the success is. It's not in the finances.
What an opportunity for them to be exposed to that. They wouldn't have that otherwise.
Now, we're the only one in town that's doing this multidiscipline type intensive.
Well, of course, congratulations are in order. 125 years, the Auditorium Theater. It's been a year-long celebration. You've worked very hard with your staff and had some milestones along the way, Brett.
We sure have. I think it's been a 10-year celebration, is how it feels. But
you've aged, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, we started it really on December the 9th, 2013, which was the 124th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did a whole year through December 9th, 2014, when we had our big gala celebration, and now we've carried it through the rest of the season into the summer of 15. So it's been about a year and a half celebration. Have had some amazing productions, like the Royal Ballet that was here last week. It's just absolutely amazing. We had a Mavis Staple concert that had about 15 different rock stars in it and was taped for television. And then, of course, we hosted the NFL draft in the middle of it all. So it was a huge year. It was a huge year. I can't even remember everything we had in this year.
Well, the draft was certainly drew the attention of a lot of city people and certainly across the country, and that was very successful, was it not?
It sure was. You know, in 125 years, we estimate that 20 million people have been to the Auditorium Theater. And having the NFL draft and putting it on television, 57 million people saw
that right?
The Auditorium Theater in that weekend.
I remember seeing Mel Catton at one of the plays or that Broadway in Chicago puts on, and he says, you know, it was before it started. He says, you know, I'm not sure. I can't even get in myself. I'm not sure. And it turned out pretty well.
Yeah, it turned out real well. The NFL was real happy, and we were happy. And I think we showcased Chicago very, very well to the rest of the world.
Well, not only the auditorium, but the entire city, certainly the downtown area in and around the auditorium.
Yeah, that draft town that they built in Grant Park was unbelievable. That's something they've never done before. I've been in New York City when the draft was going on at Radio City Music Hall, mm-hmm. and other than a couple of barricades outside Radio City, you never would know it was there. But in Chicago, it took over.
Yeah, it really did. It really did. And the traffic was wonderful.
Yeah, right.
Well, what's to look forward to in the 2015-2016 season?
We have a good season next year. It's not as big as this year, of course, because, you know, 126 is not quite the same as 125. But it's a great season. We've got Ballet Folklorico coming from Mexico,
oh,
the big folkloric company coming. We have a world premiere co-commission that we've done with the Ravinia Festival, the new Twilight Tharp full-length evening. We have, of course, our annual visit to Bailey, and then we have Le Grand Ballet Canadien, which has not been at the auditorium in over 30 years. And then on our main in Chicago, we've got two River North dance performances, plus Thodos in Giordano dance, and then we have our music series. We should be getting some Broadway shows and a lot yet to be announced.
Oh, right. Great. So some of the Broadway shows will be coming to the auditorium.
We hope so.
Yeah. That's terrific. Well, God bless you for what you do, and thank you for what you do, and congratulations again on your 125th. And, you know, we have to get together, as I said, a little earlier for a little lunch because always like to participate in Hands Together Heart to Heart. So very special to our heart.
I appreciate that, Kevin, and I really do appreciate all the support you've given it over the years.
Led by Auditorium Theater Director of Creative Engagement, Christina Bournet, the camp utilizes various techniques to work with campers, sharing time where campers are divided into small groups facilitated by professional healing counselors, offers campers a comfortable, safe time and space to express and share their feelings both with peers and one-on-one, allowing them to realize that they are not alone in this tragedy. Campers hear from arts professionals, grief specialists, and adults from all walks of life who have experienced the loss of a parent at a young age, showing them that there is a hope for the future and that they too will be able to move forward and achieve great things. A full-time counselor is on hand throughout the entire duration of camp to give campers one-on-one counseling as needed. Using their own stories and stories of others, campers work together to create stage, rehearse, and execute a performance culminating in a final showcase at the end of the session that's guaranteed to give you goosebumps. The Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, located at 50 East Congress Parkway, is an Illinois not-for-profit organization committed to presenting the finest in international, cultural, community, and educational programs to Chicago, and to the continued restoration and preservation of the National Historic Landmark Auditorium Theater. In September of 2014, the Auditorium Theater was awarded the inaugural Fifth Star Award by Mayor Rahm Emanuel and the Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. On December 9th, 2014, the Auditorium Theater celebrated its 125th birthday with a proclamation from the City of Chicago declaring it Auditorium Theater Day. Closing out the celebration of the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University's 125th anniversary season, the Auditorium's Creative Engagement Department announces community initiatives that will continue throughout this entire summer. The award-winning summer camp Hands Together Heart to Art returns for the 11th year, July 6th through the 31st, allowing children ages 7 through 14 who have experienced the loss of one or both parents the opportunity to use the performing arts to encourage communication, foster emotional growth, and provide young people with a constellation of friendship and compassion from their peers and instructors. And on the line with us right now is the executive director of the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, our good pal, Brett Patterson. Brett, maybe a phone number, website, if people like to get some information?
Yeah, for camp, the best number to call is 312-341-2353. And on the web, we're at auditoriumtheater.org. .org, and theater spelled R-E at the end, not E-R.
The correct way of spelling.
The British way, yes, the proper way.
My pal, it's always a pleasure. The tradition continues. The 11th year, you have to be complimented and congratulated, and we all thank you for doing what you do and making the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University what it is today.
I sure appreciate it, Kevin, and I can't thank you enough for having me on the air today.
Always a pleasure, my pal. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Yes.
Brett Patterson, the executive director of the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. A great year, of course, they had for their 125th, and it'll continue. The 11th annual Hands Together Heart to Art Summer Camp returns July 6th to the 31st. The Brave Face Project shines light on women's roles in society with special performances June 26th and 28th. And the 2015 Made in Chicago Summer Dance Intensive welcomes young dancers to train with some of the best talents in Chicago, June 29th through July 3rd. And some of that talent is the Joffrey Ballet's Erica Edwards, Thotos Dance Chicago's Kyle Haddenfelt, Giordano Dance Chicago Artistic Director Nan Giordano herself will be involved, and River North Dance Chicago's Ahmad Simmons. So it should be a terrific time for young people to get participate in what's happening with dance in Chicago. And for information, again, 312-922-2110. Well, Mary Schmick is one of our favorite writers from the Chicago Tribune, and she has an essay entitled Best Summer of the World is Right Outside Our Door. Well, it certainly is, so let's hear what Mary has to say. Chicago has the best summers in the world. I wrote the above sentence partly because I recently read that the most popular articles in newspapers are the ones that label things best and worst. It also happens to be true. Chicago has the best summers in the world. A five-star summer, a summer to write up home about, especially if home is somewhere whose residents are forever flogging outsiders with the reports of their wondrous weather. Phoenix in the summer? Orlando? Have you seen their temperatures lately? Do you really want to live in a place where, as Arizonians brag, you could fry an egg on the sidewalk? In other words, places with the best winters in the world typically have the worst summers. Feel free to remind your Sunbelt friends of this in January when they're abusing you with tales of jacaranda and orange trees. Or maybe you should call them up right now and do to them what they do to you in February, which is to say, gosh, it's gorgeous here. I hear it's awful there. I couldn't stand living in that place. So what makes a summer the world's best? Well, to begin with, a place with an award-winning summer is one in which summer's more than a word on the calendar, more than a meteorological season. Summer, mythological summer, requires a release of tension. Summer requires contrast. Summer presumes that something in your ordinary afflicted life, in your ordinarily 100-mile-per-hour brain, improves for a little while. That's why the best summers occur in places with winters that would kill normal folks. You can't relish summer unless you've whined and shivered through December, January, and February, or in the case of Chicago, through March, April, and May as well. A place that has perpetual summer, certain parts of California, therefore has no summer whatsoever. The best summers occur in places where the winter weary stumble out into the sunshine, squinting and flabby, like prisoners released from an underground cell block, and point to the gold globe in the sky and say, "What's that?" To witness this spectacle, go to Chicago's lakefront this weekend. Suffice it to say that Baywatch was not filmed here. These are the worst beach bodies in the world, the proud, defiant, sallow, pudgy bodies of winter survivors who know that summer is privilege, not entitlement. In other cities, a great summer requires leaving town. In Chicago, it's best accomplished by staying put. What fool leaves Chicago in the 3 months that makes it worth living here? A really good summer, nonetheless, requires a vacation. A vacation from routine, from rushing, fretting, and polar tech. From work. A first-rate summer, Chicago style, requires playing hooky. Sneaking out to ball games. Hitting a farmer's market midweek in the middle of a workday. It means coming in late and leaving early. Relax, the bosses do it too. More requirements of a great Chicago summer: sunglasses, sunscreen, sunflowers, and anything else with sun in the name. Also, a bicycle, blueberries, and a good book. You don't have to actually read the book. The important thing is to have a book nearby while you nap. The mark of a top-notch summer is enough time to fall asleep guilt-free while pretending to read. Summer is to napping as winter is to, who cares? Thinking that hard is a sin against summer. A really good summer requires getting wet. A swimming pool will do, but a body of natural water is better. Spilt beer almost counts as long as you're wearing shorts. A great summer also allows you to be more solitary than normal and more social. In the early dawns or the late dusks, you walk alone along the lake or in a park or your garden, like a passeggiata. Then you sit outside for long meals and conversations. In sum, a great summer means changing pace, slowing down. But better hurry, because the worst thing about living in the city with the world's greatest summer is that it's over as fast as you can say, back to school. Mary Schmick's column, The Best Summer in the World, is right outside our door here in Chicago. It certainly is. Let's get back to Maury McGovern's CD, A Long and Winding Road. Great song from Carole King and Jerry Goffin, which has been made into a very popular and hit musical on Broadway, which is coming to Chicago, entitled Beautiful, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Maureen McGovern, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? The great song written by Carole King and Jerry Goffin. And we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. A little poem written by the very talented American poet Mary Oliver. Something I enjoy reading every year during the summer, because it's a poem that holds that the act of attention in itself is a form of prayer. It's entitled The Summer Day. Mary writes, "Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now, she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? A summer poem entitled The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. Always enjoy reading that. We go back to Maureen McGovern, two of the great songs from the Beatles written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney, Imagine, and the title track from her CD, The Long and Winding Road. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday. Possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing. And many times I've cried. Anyway, you'll never know the many ways I've tried. But still they lead me back to the long winding road. You left me standing here a long, long time ago. Don't leave me waiting here. Lead me to your door.
Two classics from John Lennon and Paul McCartney, Imagine and A Long and Winding Road, performed by Maureen McGovern. And we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, our good pal, Brett Patterson, the executive director of the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, and congratulate him on the 11th annual Hands Together Heart to Art Summer Camp, returning again for its 11th year, July 6th to the 31st at Roosevelt University, and also the Brave Face Project, June 26th through the 28th, and the Made in Chicago Summer Dance Intensive, June 29th through July 3rd. Something always to look forward to. For information, please give Brett a call at 312-922-2110. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a wonderful summer. Have a great 4th of July.
Each time you hear her name, I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever.